Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome to today's Daf Yomi, Nida Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin from the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Zok the Mishnah. Tinoikes Bas Yom Echad. A one-day-old girl, Metama Benida. If she sees Dam, she is Tamei Tumas Nida. Bas Yud Yomim, if she's 10 days old, Metama Beziva, she can become Tamei Tumas Ziva. Now, the way it works is that if Aisha sees Dam, for the first 7 days, she is Tamei Tumas Nida. Afterwards, begin the Yimei Ziva. If she sees 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gedoyla, which is the highest form of a Tumas Ziva. Therefore, says the Mishnah, once she reaches 10 days old, she potentially can become Tamei Tumas Ziva. 7 days for the Yimei Nida, an additional 3 days, which will be the Yimei Ziva. Zok the Mishnah Vayta, Tinoik Ben Yemechot. A one-day-old boy, mitame beziva. If he sees ziva, he will become tame tumas ziva, umitame benegoim. If he has a nega, he will become tame with a tumas negoim, umitame betume mace. If he comes into contact with a mace, he will become a tame. Vizoikeik liibum. If a man passes away without any children, his wife is called a yavama, and the brother of the mace needs to be miyabim her. Now, if the brother is merely 1 day old, that is sufficient to obligate the Yavama to have mitzvah Yibum. Upoiter min Yibum, if a man passes away but he has a 1 day old child, that will be enough to pater his mother from Yibum, and she does not have to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Umachel betruma, a 1 day old child will cause his mother to eat truma. Now, we're talking about a case where a Bas Yisrael, she was a Yisraelis, married a Kayin, and that gives her the privilege to eat truma as long as she's married to him. Now, suppose he passes away, she goes back home to her father's home, and she doesn't eat truma anymore because she's a Bas Yisrael. However, there is an exception. If she has a child from the Kayin, then it is considered as if she's still connected to Kahuna, and she could still eat truma. Now, if the child is merely 1 day old, that will give the mother a privilege to continue eating truma. But that's only if it's a child who was already born. If he's only a ubar, if she's only pregnant with the child, she cannot yet eat a truma. She has to wait until he is born. Upoisel min ha-truma, zok the Mishnah, he also will disqualify from eating truma. Now, what are we speaking about? So it would seem that the Mishnah is speaking about the above-mentioned case where the child somehow disqualifies his mother from eating truma, but the Gemara will explain exactly the meaning of these words of the Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah Vayta, v'noichel umanchel, a one-day-old infant inherits, he's noichel, he's yerish, umanchel, and he passes on, other people are yerish from him. The Gemara will explain, v'ahergoy chayev, if somebody were to kill the newborn child, he is chayev misa, it is considered like a full-fledged person in that respect. And the final halach in the Mishnah, v'arehu la'aviv u'li'imai, he's considered to his father and his mother, l'chol kroivam, and to all his relatives, k'chassan shalom, like a full chassan. The Gemara will explain the meaning of this last phrase. So again, a recap on the halachas of the Mishnah, we have 12 cases that a newborn child has. A halacha as if he would be a full-fledged person. Number one is tumas nida, tumas ziva, tumas tmei meis, tumas negoyim. If he is a child of a man who passed away, he will pater his mother from Yibum. If he is a brother from that person, he will be Machayev Yibum. He can provide the privilege of eating Truma, Machel Betruma, and he can disqualify somebody from eating Truma. He is Noichel, he is Yerish, and others are Yerish from him. If somebody were to kill him, he's Chayev, and he's considered like a chasan sholem. The Gemara will explain that later. Zok the Gemara, menahan il mili. How do we know this halacha? The halacha mentioned in the first part of the Mishnah that an isha bas yom echad can be tamei tumas nida. The Tana Rabbanon, isha, this is in the pasuk of tumas nida, isha ein li ela isha. I would suggest that it only means a gedayla. Isha means she's already 12 and a day, already a gedayla. Bas yom echad l'nidah menayin. How do you know to include even a bas yom echad, an infant? Tamalim v'isha. There's an added vav to include even a isha who is only a bas yom echad, that she can be tamei tumas nida. Continues the Gemara. Bas yud yomim l'ziva. Menah hanemili. How do we know? The Tana Rabban. Isha, and this is in the pasuk of ziva. Ein li el isha. I only see from here a full-fledged isha, a full-grown isha, bas yud yomim l'ziva minayin. How do we know to include even a 10-day-old baby? Talmud loima v'isha. The added vav will include even a 10-day-old tinoikis. Continues the Gemara, tinoik ben yom echad, that he is metame beziva, mina hanemili, how do we know? The Tana Rabbanon, ish, this is in the pasuk of ziva, of a man who sees ziva, that he has a tumah ziva. Ma tamad loyma, why the repetition? Why say ish twice? Ma tamad loyma, ish, l'rabois ben yom echad, the Torah is coming to include even a one-day-old child, shemetame beziva, that he can become tame, tumas ziva. Divei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishal, Rabbi Yechon Breiko, Eimer, Ein Tzarech, it's not needed. We don't need to be marba to include a Yom Echad by a Bas or Yom Echad by a Ben from the above mentioned Ribuyos. Harayu Eimer, we have a specific pasuk, a special pasuk, Vahazov Ezoivoi, Lezarchel in a Keva. The Torah says that a person who has experienced a Ziva, whether he's a Zach or in a Keva, he is Tamei. We learn from here that lezachar kol shu ben gadol ben katan. Now, this pasuk doesn't mention the term ish or isha. It just simply says a zachar or nekeva. That will imply that even a young zachar or young nekeva, regardless of age, will have the tumas ziva. Lezachar kol shu ben gadol ben katan. The nekeva kol shi any age ben gdoila, whether she is a gdoila or ben ktana. Imkain, if so, ma tamad loymi ish. Why then does the pasuk repeat the word ish if we don't need it for this halacha? Dibur teira kalasham bnei adam. The Torah simply is using a phrase that just a normal mode of speech, the way people speak, and it's not intended to teach us any new halachas. Zok the Gemara vayte umetame b'negoyim. A one-day-old child can become tame tumas negoyim. Dechsiv, it says in the pasuk, Adam, a person, ki yiyeh bo'er b'saroi, a person will have in his flesh a nega. Adam, kolshu. Now in this pasuk, all it says is the word Adam. Adam means a person. Kolshu, regardless of age, even a one-day-old, can become tame tumas negoyim. Umetame b'tmeimeis. Dechsiv va'al hanafashas asher hoyusham. Now this is a pasuk referring to the hazoya of the mechatas. You sprinkle the mei paraduma on all the things that became tamei tumas meis. And the pasuk uses the word va'al hanafashas, any nefesh, any soul of a that was there in the oyel hameis, in the makam of the tuma. Nefesh is a very general term, and it is referring even to a young child nefesh kodu. If he is the brother of a person who died without any children, he will obligate the wife of the dead person to have yibum. It says in the pasuk, when brothers will sit together, meaning that their lives will overlap, they will experience each other's presence. They need to sit together in the world, meaning they have to be around, alive at the same time. So the Gemara means to say that only if this brother was born prior to the Misa, if he was born before the person that was childless died. However, if he was only born afterwards, then he is not Mechayiv the Yibum. Upoiter min Yibum, if he is the son of a man who died, then his mother does not need Yibum, even though he is just a newborn child. Ubein ein loy amar achmana, the pasuk when referring to the din of yibum, that a person dies without any children. Ubein ein loy, he has no children at all. V'ha isla, he does have. He has a newborn child, and therefore it constitutes a full-fledged ben and is pattering his mother from yibum. Umachul betruma, if this child is a son of a kayin, it will provide his mother with the privilege of eating truma, even though we're speaking about a mother who is a bas Yisrael, ordinarily would not be able to eat truma. The chsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'yilid beisai, somebody who was born in the house of a kayin, heim yoichlu b'lachma, they can eat the truma. Kari beisai, v'yidarshan yachilu b'lachma, they will actually feed others truma. And it's referring to a child of a kohen who provides his mother with the schus of eating truma even after her husband was nifter. And for that we require at least a one-day-old child, but not an unborn child. She would have to wait for the leida, for him to be born, in order to eat truma. Zoktig maravaita upoisel mina truma. And the child, the newborn child, will pasel, will disqualify from eating truma. Now, the Gemara seems to understand that the Mishnah is referring to the reverse case than the case mentioned above. For instance, if she was a Bas Kayin and went ahead and married a Yisrael, Now while she's married to him, she cannot eat truma, obviously. Now, what if he dies and she goes back to her father's home? The pasuk says that an isha whose husband died, v'shava el beis avia kin ureha, she will go back to her father's home as in her youth, and then she is able to begin eating truma once again. However, if there is a child from the Yisrael, that sort of still connects her to Yisraelus, and she cannot go and eat truma. Now, the halacha is that even if she's just a mu'uberes, she's expecting a child from a Yisrael, that also would disqualify her from returning to her father's home and eating truma. So the Gemara is a kasha. Why then does the Mishnah say that we require a one-day-old child, a Ben Yom Echad, to passel his mother from eating truma? The Chera, that is not so. Even an unborn child will also disqualify his mother from eating truma. Because it is not kinureo. It is not as though she was when she was back home. She's right now expecting a child, pregnant from a Yisrael. Frekti Gemara. Upaisel minat truma v'zera ein la amar achmana. She has no offspring from the Yisrael, and therefore she can go back home and eat. V'ha isla, however, if it's a child that born from Yisrael, even if he's only 1 day old, since she has a child from him, she cannot eat truma. Ask Gemara, my Irya Zera, why do you have to mention? Why is it important to be discussing a case where she already has a child who is born from Yisrael in order to passel her? Afilu uber nami, the same case would be if she's only mu'uberes from Yisrael. Tichsiv kinureo, the pasuk says, she needs to be like her youth, prat lumu'uberes. We are excluding from here a mu'uberes because in her parents she doesn't appear to be like the young girl in the time of her in the Bebei Sovia when she was in her youth. So that would be that would disqualify her from eating truma. Tzrichi. The Torah says that we need both psukim, meaning the Torah says kinureh, which would imply that even mu'uberes, somebody who is expecting an unborn child from Yisrael, that itself disqualifies her from eating truma's beis avia. She can't go back home and eat her father's truma. The pasuk as well says, v'zera ein la, she has no offspring. So the question is obvious. If mu'uberes is pasul, certainly if she already has a child who's born from Yisrael, she would be pasul. Why is it necessary for Torah to go through both cases? Emes gemara tzrichi, both are required. I would think, perhaps, that dafka a mu'uberes is disqualified. Or perhaps I would say, specifically, if she has a born child, that would disqualify, but not mu'uberes. There would be a reason to prefer one over the other. That's why the Torah has to specifically state both cases to include them both as disqualifications from eating truma. Let's see the Gemara inside. Utsrichi, both are necessary. The cause of Rachmana, if the Torah would say v'zera ein la, only if she has a child, she's disqualified. Mishum demi karachat gufa v'ashta trei gufi. Because originally, initially, when she was in her father's home prior to getting married to the Israel, she was only one guf, one body. Now she went through a very significant transformation. One guf turned into two. So it certainly is not daimer. It's not similar to beis avia. And therefore, she's possible from eating truma. Aval hocha, but in the case of a mu'uberes, di mi'ikar rochat gufa. Initially, she was one guf. When she was back home before marriage, she was one guf. Fahashta, now, chat gufa, she is still one guf. She's a mu'uberes. But technically speaking, she is only one guf. Therefore, I would tend to think, perhaps, the difference in her appearance doesn't affect her halacha, and she's still considered kinureo, and she is able to go back home and eat a truma. D'mikara chad gufa v'ashta chad gufa, eimotechel, I would perhaps think that she can continue eating truma, go back to eating the truma space of ya, kasav rachmana kinureo. Therefore, it's necessary for the Torah to state explicitly, kinureo, that if there's any shinui that took place, even if it's only an ibur, if there's any change in her status, in her appearance, before she was non-Mu'uberes, now she's a Mu'uberes, that itself constitutes a change in status, and therefore it is not kinureo, it is not like her youth, and therefore she cannot return to her beis avia to eat truma. And the same thing in the reverse, because of rachmana kinureha, if the Torah would only say, in the case of nureha, meaning a case of a Mu'uberes she is possible from eating truma because she's still connected to the Yisro who she married. I would think Mishon Demiyakaru Gufa Srika. Previously she was a thin body. Vahashta Gufa Malya. Now she is a full body. Before she was empty, now she was full. And therefore, that is a real change. Aval Hacha, but in the case of childbirth, Demiyakaru Gufa Srika, previously she was an empty guf, Vahashta Gufa Srika, and now as well she's empty. Meaning it's not visible. The change is not apparent in her. So I would think that is certainly conforms with the term of kinhurao, and she's eligible to eat trumas beis aviyah. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you both cases to tell us that there are two variations for the psul. One is a muberes, and one is a person who already had a child. Tzricha, therefore, both are necessary. So again, a quick recap. The halacha of peiseles, Paisel Betruma, is referring to a case where a Bas Kayin goes out and married Yisrael. As long as she's married to him, she doesn't eat Truma. However, if he passes away and she returns home, Kin Ureha, she is once again eligible to eat the Truma, Truma's Beis Havia. And that is only when she is Kin Ureha, when she is similar to her youth. However, in the case where she had a child from the Yisrael, or even if she just moved Beres from the Israel, that is not considered kinureo, and that is a reason to pasul her from Truma. And we have two psukim. One is Vezera Einla, she must not have any children. And the second pasuk is kinureo, she can even be a mu'u Beres. Zakti Gemara Kroy Itrutz. We've explained the kasha on the psukim, why we need both psukim. Fine. Elamas Nisan, let's go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a one-day-old child pasels his mother, disqualifies his mother from eating truma. Now, based on the above-mentioned halacha, not only a born child, even an unborn child as well, will disqualify his mother. So why does the Mishnah then need to mention this halacha of a ben yom echad pasels from truma? L'chayr, even a muberes, even a pregnant woman will have the same halacha. Ma'ir ya ben yom echad, why did you have to mention? Why did you list this halacha amongst the others which require to be at least one day old? Afilu uber nami. This is an exception from the rest of the cases listed in the Mishnah. In this case, even a muberes as well will have the same status. So it's fair. Rav Sheshes proposes to us that no. The Mishnah was never discussing this case of a halacha of a child of Israel who is pasling, who is disqualifying the Bas Kayin from eating truma. You're right. In the context of that halacha, even an uber would accomplish the same thing. We are talking about something totally different. Amrav Sheshes, Hacha b'mayaskinan. The discussion here is a totally different case. We were speaking about the halacha that an eved, a slave of a Kayin, will eat truma on the basis of the fact that he belongs. He's a possession. He's a chayfetz of a kayin, and as a result of that, he has the privilege of eating truma. Now, if a kayin who had slaves, who has an eved, passes away, and he has proper yershim, children that are ksherim, that are kahanim ksherim, so now the slaves are in their possession, so the avadim continue eating truma because of the schus, because of the acquisition of the children of the kayin who acquire the avadim. However, if the children are chalolim, if somehow they are psulei kuhuna, they are unfit to be kohanim, suppose they were children from an improper marriage, a ben grusha, a kohen is not allowed to marry somebody who is divorced, a son of that marriage is considered a chalol, he is psulei kuhuna. Now if he acquires a eved, if he is zeichen a eved, the eved is psul from eating truma. So now that we know this introduction, let's see the Gemara inside. Omer of Sheshes, Hacha b'mayaskin, and we're speaking about a case with Koyin, Sheyesh le'shtei Nashim. Suppose a Koyin had two Nashim, Achas Grusha, Va'achas She'en a Grusha. He has a wife who is a Grusha, who is unfit to marry him, and a child from this Nesuin would be a Chalol, Va'achas She'en a Grusha, and he has an ordinary wife whose children from this marriage would be Kahanim Ksherim. Now, v'yeshli banim ish'ein agrusha, v'yeshli ben yem echad min agrusha. Now, he has two sets of children. He has children from the ordinary wife, from the isha k'shera, or full-fledged kosher kahanim, and their schus, their schia, their acquisition of the avodim, after the father passes away, allows them to eat truma. However, there's one problem. Since he has a child from the grusha as well, who is a chalal, who is a pasul kuhuna. Now, the fact that he also has a chelik, he has a partial schia, a partial schus, a partial ownership of the avadim. And of course, it's undefinable. There are several sons, and they all have a joint ownership of the avadim. Since there is a part ownership coming from the pasul, that will disqualify the avadim from eating truma on account that they are property of the chalal. So let's see inside. Yeshli bana mishena grusha. He has some children that are kosher. Yeshli bana mechad bina grusha. He has a child who is coming from the grusha, and since he is already an infant, he is yoim echad. The paisel ba'avdi aviv melechal betruma. He will pasel the avadim of his father who passed away from going ahead and eating truma. Now the Mishnah is emphasizing to us this halacha is strictly if the child is one day old, meaning he's already born. Then he has the power to acquire. He has the koyach to be zeiche in these avadim. And therefore, because they're considered his avadim, he will pasel them from eating truma. However, if he's still unborn, if he's only an uber has no power to acquire, to be zeiche. He has no kinyan in the avadim, and therefore, his presence will not get in the way of their privilege of eating truma until he's born. Now, this is lafuke mid Rabbi Yossi. This is coming to argue to be chaylik on Rabbi Yossi, who holds that even an ubar has a koyach to be zeicha. He has the power to acquire, and therefore, this halacha will apply even prior to his birth, not like the halacha quoted in our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is coming to dispute the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Dafka, specifically, once he's born, he will create this problem. But not before that. Let's see. Inside, lafukim drab yosi, the amar uber nami poisel. An uber can as well pasel the avodim because he has a schia in them. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us, teaches us, ben yoim echad in, only dafka a yoim echad. A child who is at least one day old. Uber loy. But beforehand, not. So let's summarize the Gemara. The Mishnah mentioned a case of poisel min hatruma. Initially, the Gemara thought we're speaking about pasling, disqualifying his mother. Suppose she's a Bas Kayin who married a Yisrael. So the halacha is when a Yisrael dies, the daughter of the Kayin goes back home and resumes her privilege of eating truma. But that is only provided there are no children from the Yisrael, if there's a child, or even if she's a Muberis, she's just expecting a child from the Yisrael, that will be enough to disqualify the pasl from eating truma's Beis Aviya. Therefore, the Gemara was machriach proof from this that evidently our mission is not discussing this case, because the Mishnah says you need a ben yom echad, a one-day-old child, in order to accomplish this psul. And regarding the case of bas kayin, that doesn't apply. Even a muberes will be sufficient. Therefore, the Gemara moved on to explore a different possibility. Rav Shesha suggested that we're speaking about a halacha of being machal avodim, feeding the slaves, that the slaves of a kayin have a privilege of eating truma. Now the Yerushim of a Kohen as well can be Machal Betruma provided they are Kohanim Ksherim. However, a son of a Grusha who is a Chalal, who is a Pasal Kohuna, he will disqualify the Avadim from eating Truma even if he only has a partial ownership in them. But that is provided that he was already born. Beforehand he has no Schus, he has no Kidyan, no power to be Kohen, to acquire the Avadim. And we totally ignore him and they can continue eating their Truma. And this is unlike the Sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who maintains that even an Ubar will do the same thing. So the Gemara weiter. Neichel umanchel. The Mishnah said that a one-day-old child can be yerush, can inherit, and also others will be yerush from him. So the Gemara. Neichel miman. We know that the din of Yerusha is primarily by the mishpacha of a father, meaning his father or his brothers from his father, but not the family of his mother. So let's assume we're speaking about the typical Yerusha where a person will inherit, will be yerush from his father. Question remains, what's the point of this Ben Yom Echad? That the Mishnah says he will go be Yerush and be Manchil, he will pass on the Yerusha to others. Noichel Miman, who is he being Yerush from? Typically, Me'aviv. He's being Yerush his father's possessions. Umanchil Leman, who is being Yerush from him? Le'echav Me'aviv, to the brothers from his father's side. Frank the Gemara, if so, what's the point of including this son in the equation? Meaning, he was Yerush, he died, and he passed the Yerusha on. well, they can go ahead now and be yerush the father directly. What's the point of the son getting in the way? They will end up with the same amount of property regardless of the son. So what's the point of the chiddush of the Mishnah that a yoim echad is yerush and is meirush? They end up with the same amount regardless of his yerusha taking effect. So the Gemara ibai me'avur lirsi. If they want, meaning if the family, his brothers, would prefer, they can be yerush directly from the father. If they want, they can be yerush from him. Meaning, regardless of his halacha of being yerush, they will end up with the same thing. He was yerush, he died, and he's being yerush to them. Well, they're ending up with the same thing. He's just a middleman getting in the way. So what's the point? What's the nafka mina? What is the halachic ramification of him being noichel umanchel? So the Gemara Amar Rav Sheshes, we're speaking about a different type of Yerusha. We're speaking about a son being Yerush's mother. Meaning, a mother or his mother's family cannot be Yerush a son. However, a son can be Yerush his mother if his mother passes away before him. So in our case, the mother passed away. He was Yerush, inherited his mother's properties. And now that he passed away, he will pass those Nechasim on to the family on his father's side. So there is a big gain here. The fact that he's being yerush his mother will provide them the opportunity to be yerush his nechasim, which otherwise they have no access to, because they're a totally different family. They're his half-brothers. They are the mishpachas av. They have no relation to his mother. Amar Rav Sheshes again, noichel b'nichsayim lahanchil le'echav mina av. He is being yerush the nechasim, the property, the nechasim of his mother, in order to be manchil, to pass it on to the brothers from his father's side. And therefore the Mishnah says, Dafka ben yoim echad, specifically if he's already 1 day old, when his mother died. Aval uber loy, suppose his mother died while he was still an uber, while he was yet unborn. This halacha will not apply in that case. Why is that so? My taima, dehu ma'is bereisha. Typically when a mother died and she is mu'uberes, the son, the uber, the unborn child, will lose his life connection. He will die first, and then the mother will pass away. And therefore, there is no Yerusha taking place, since he died before the mother. So he has no power to be Yerusha's mother once he's already dead. Ve'ena ben Yerusha's imay bekever. A son cannot be Yerusha's mother when he's already mace. Lahanchil le'echav mina'av, in order to pass that nechosin, those properties, to his father's side. So we understand the Mishnah very well now. A ben yemecha, dafka, a son who is already 1 day old, he will be yerush his mother in order to pass those nechasim over to his father's family, to his brothers from his father's side. Dafka, because he survived his mother. However, if he was merely an uber and he passed away before his mother, he has no power to be yerush once he is not alive. Frekti Gemara, you're making a assertion that whenever there's an uber, the uber dies first. Eini, is that so? Va'ava uvda, there was once a story. Upirches ad tlas perchusi. He fluttered 3 times after his mother's ptira, after his mother passed away. The uber continued showing signs of life. So we see from here that your premise that an uber dies first is not necessarily so. Amar mar breder vashi. No, that's not really a sign of life. That is merely a nervous reaction, nerve fluctuation. It's not really a sign of chiyus. Midi dahava, it's similar to znav halata, a severed tail of a lizard. Even after you remove the tail, it will still continue fluttering, but it certainly is not a sign of life. It's merely some type of nerve reaction, perhaps. When the animal was alive, the chiyus, the power of life, sort of reverberated from the nefesh throughout the whole guf, and the zonav, the tail, still contains some sort of remnants of that chiyus, of that energy, and therefore continues fluttering, but is not connected to its source and does not constitute life. So too, in the case of an uber, even if there was a phenomenon where there was a tlas perchusi, a bunch of flutterings, that is not an indication of life, and certainly the child is already dead. If his mother passed away, he certainly preceded her. Zokta Gemara, Mar Breda Rav Yosef Shmei Rava Amar. Now we have a second approach to the words of the Mishnah of Noichel Amanchel. One was that we're speaking about being Yerush, his mother, to pass on the Yerusha to his father's side. Now we have another approach to explain the Mishnah. Mar Breda Rav Yosef Shmei Rava Amar. What does the Mishnah mean that a ben yom echad is noichel umanchel, and dafka specifically if he's yom echad but not before that? Loimar shememayit b'chelik b'chayr. We know that a b'chayr, a firstborn, gets double pay. He gets a double chelik. He gets two portions in his father's yerusha. For instance, if there are two brothers, one is a b'chayr and one is an ordinary child, you will go ahead and divide the nechasim into three parts. The b'chayr gets two of them, and the other brother gets the remaining part. So the halacha is that if a child was born prior to his father's death, then he will be taken to account regarding the chalukah and distributing of the nechasim and allocating the double portion, calculating the double portion for the b'chayr. So if he's around, he goes into the cheshbon, he goes into the calculation, he's included into this calculation. However, if he's only an ubar, then he will not be included in this cheshbon, and the b'chayr will end up getting a greater portion. Let's see the Gemara inside. Loimar shemayit b'chelek b'chayra. He will diminish the chelek of the b'chayr. We'll explain in a minute. De'omar mar b'reder Rav Yosef eshmei d'rava. Ben shenoyled acha misas ahav. A child who was born after his father passes away. Eino imamayit b'chelek b'chayra. He will not minimize the chelek, the portion that goes to the b'chayr. Now, let's just take some numbers for example. Suppose the father left 600 coins. So if there are only two brothers here, so we would take the 600, divide into three parts, each equal part being 200. The b'chayr will get two of those for a total of 400, and the second brother ends up with 200 coins. The fact that we're including another brother into the equation, so now we have to take the 600 and divide it into four parts. Because if you recall, we said that a b'chayr always gets two parts, meaning that we have to imagine as if there's another brother here, and for three brothers, one of them being a b'chayr, we divvy up the nechasim into four equal portions. And the b'chayr will get two of them, and the others will get one of those chalakim. So in our case of 600 coins, it would end up being divided into four equal parts, which is 150 per part. The b'chayr will get two of them, which is twice 150, equaling 300. The other two brothers will get 150 each. Now, we're speaking about, obviously, that the son died, that the newborn had died, because he was noichel umanchel, right? Meaning that he inherited, but he was also meirish further, meaning he had passed away as well. So now, what happens is that his 150 that he had acquired goes to the b'chayr and the pasha. They split it equally. Each one will get 75. So if we make a cheshbon, the b'chayr will end up with a total of 375, three which was rightfully his, on his, from his own account. Now the 150 of the ben yom echad who was passed away will be divided, and 75 will go to the b'chayr for a total of 375. And the other brother will get his own 150 plus additional 75 for a total of 225. So at the end of the day, since we take into account the ben yom echad into the calculation, the b'chayr will end up receiving less than he would have otherwise. Because if we would not have taken this ben yom echad into account, meaning we would have imagined as if it's only two brothers that are trying to divide the nechasim, then we would have split the 600 into three parts, strictly. The b'chayr would have taken two of them for a total of 400 instead of the 375 that he's receiving today. So now that is the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah, that a child who is one day old will be memayit, he will affect the chelek of the b'chayr, meaning that the b'chayr regarding his double portion will have to take into account this additional brother. However, only if he is a one day old, if he is a ubar, he will not affect the b'chayr's chelek. But this is all regarding the chelek ha-b'chayr, meaning that you would take the 600 and divide it into three, as if the ubar doesn't exist. The b'chayr will take 200, which is a third. That would be his chelek b'chayr. The rest, the 400 remaining, of course you would split it up amongst all three brothers. This halacha that a ubar is not memayit is only regarding the chelek b'chayr. But the chelek pashut, meaning the portion that the Bechor received as an ordinary child, for that, in that regard, you would obviously take into account the Ubar who was now born, and you would divide the rest, the 400 remaining, amongst all the brothers. Zokta Gemara Vayit, Besura Masnu Hachi. In Surah, they quoted Rava in the above-mentioned halacha. Bepumpadis, however, in a different yeshiva of Masnu Hachi, they learned it this way. Amar Mar Brei Derav Yosef Eshmei Derav. Bechor Shenoilad La'achar Misas Aviv. A Bechor, a firstborn who was born after his father already passed away, Einei Noitel Pishnaim. He will not be eligible for the Schus of Pishnaim. In my time, why is that? So Yakir Be'inan V'Haleka. When the Torah speaks about a Bechor receiving double, the Torah uses the term Yakir, implying that the father has to recognize the child. The child has to be around at some point during the father's lifetime. Otherwise, he will not receive double chelek. V'holeka. V'hilchazaz of the Gemara, the halacha remains k'chol hani lishni, the mar b'ed Rav Yosef, mishmei the Rav, the halacha, follows according to all the lishonos, A, that A, Uber will not be memayit the chelek b'chor, and B, that Uber will not receive pi shnayim. So in conclusion, regarding the halacha of the Mishnah, that a ben yamechad is noichel u'manchel, we have two approaches in the Gemara. Either the halacha is that he will be yerush his mother's nechasim in order to pass that on to his father's family, and that is dafka when he is already yom echad, when his mother passed away, but not yet an unborn child. In that case, he is not yerush his mother because he dies first. The second proposal in the Gemara was that the Mishnah means that only a child who is already one day old will be memayit the chelek of the bechira. Zokhtim maravaita. V'ahurgoi chayav. If somebody is to kill him, he will be chayav. Dechsiv v'ish ki yake kol nefesh. Kol nefesh is a very general term. Even a small child, mikol mokim. Zokhtim maravaita. The final halacha mentioned in the Mishnah. V'areyu le'ov v'l'imoy l'chol k'roivav k'chosan sholem. He is considered like a full-fledged chosan. What is this pertaining to? Amar Papa le'inyan avelus, regarding the halachas of mourning, that they will be mechuyev to do avelus even for a newborn child. Keman. Now the Gemara is referring back to the whole entire Mishnah. A one-day-old child has all these halachas that doesn't fit with the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, the loik of Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar, who holds kol sheshoha shloishim yom ba'adam, a baby who is born only if he completes 30 days, if he is around for 30 days, then we know that he is viable. Otherwise, perhaps he is an Eiffel. He will not survive, and he does not have the significance, the chashiva, the status of a full-fledged Adam. The Omer, kol sheshoah, shloishim yom ba'adam, ein an Eiffel. Only if he waited around, if he completed 30 days of life, ein an Eiffel, he is not an Eiffel. Ha loishah, but if he hasn't completed 30 days, safekavi, we are in doubt if he will be viable. And therefore, he does not carry with him all the halachas of a regular child, of a regular person. So how does that fit with the halacha in the Mishnah? So the Gemara, hachi b'maya askinan, the Mishnah is speaking about a special case. The kimlei, we know for sure, we're certain, the kololoi shekololoi chadoshav, that his months were completed. We know that he completed his full term of 9 months, and in that case, we have no doubt that he is fully viable. Zok the Mishnah vayter. Bas shalishanam v'yaymechad miskadeshes v'biya. A girl who is 3 years old and a day, she can be neskadesh or bia, meaning that the minimum age requirement for bia to be considered a ma'isa bia is 3 years and a day. And therefore, if somebody is mekadesh with bia, it is a proper kedushin. V'im bo'aleha yavam, if she is the wife of a person who died childless, and the yavam did bia with her, he is kainer. V'chayavam aleha mishum eishas ish, if she is the wife of somebody, she's considered an eishas ish, and carries with it all the effects and ramifications of an Eishas Ish. Umetama is boyala letami mishkav tachtan kelyan. Now, if an Isha is a Nida and somebody is boyal Nida, the halach is that her tumma carries over, gets transferred, he contacts. It's contagious. He gets her tumma, but not to the same degree as she is tummy. When she sits or lies on something that is called mishkav amoshav, that becomes tummy, a very high madrega of tumma, a very severe tumma called the avha tumma. However, regarding the bayal, by him, it is a little bit more lenient that his mishkav amayshav is merely a rishon, the tumma, a lower level of tumma. That is what the Mishnah means, that his mishkav, the tamei mishkav tachten ki elyon, his mishkav tachten means underneath him, has only a din as elyoni shel zav, as something which comes into contact with zav, which is only a rishon, the tumma. Continues the Mishnah, Nisus l'koyin teichel b'truma. If this bas shalosh shanim v'yaymechad, if this girl marries a koyin, she is allowed to eat truma. Ba'ala echad min apsulim, if one of the psulim, specific list of psulim that Rashi mentions, for instance, a mamzer, an eved, or a goy, who is ba'aleha, pasla min akuhuna, they disqualify her, they pasla her from marrying a koyin and eating truma. Ba'ala echad mikol ha'aroyos ha'murus b'toyra, if one of the arayos is mezana with her, mumsin aleha, they get an oyish of misa v'hi b'tura, she however remains pata because she's a ktana. Why is it so? Why is the minimum age 3 years of the Mishnah, k'pachos mekan, less than 3 years? K'neisin etzra b'ayin has no real physical effect on her. It is as if somebody pokes his finger into his eye, and it is meaningless. It has no permanent effect. Zokta Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Bas Shalosh Shanim Miskadeshes V'Bia Divi Rameir. You need to have 3 years in order to be have Kiddushei Bia. V'Chachamim Maimim, Bas Gimel Shanim V'Yayim Echad. You need 3 years plus a day. My Binayu, it sounds so similar. What is the difference between the two Shitas? Ikib Amar Avyanai, Amrit V'Avyanai, Erev Rosh Hashanah Ikib Binayu. You know what the difference is? Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now, we're not talking about the calendar year Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're speaking about her personal Erev Rosh Hashanah. Her birthday is equated to Rosh Hashanah, that is the first day of her existence. So the Erev Rosh Hashanah, meaning the day prior to the fourth year, the day right before the beginning of her fourth year, do we need a complete day, or is it sufficient to just enter into that last day? Meaning, according to Chachamim, you need 3 full years. You need a completed 3 years, and even carrying a bit over into the next year in order for it to be considered 3 full years. 3 years and a day, as the Lashon of the Chachamim in the Brayos is. However, a Meir holds, you're not required to have 3 full years. As long as you have 2 years plus the almost the complete third year, up until the beginning of the last day of the third year, that is already considered like a Miktsas Hayem Kekulei, and we consider as if she has 3 years. So that is the machleikah of Meir and Chacham. Everybody agrees you need 3 years. The question is, what it constitutes shalosh shanim. That is the approach of Rabbi Yana. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, the pshat of the machleikah of Meir Rabban is as follows. Lamed yoyim b'shana chashuvim shana ika b'nayu. 30 days of a year has already the significance, has a chashivus of a year. It's already enough it's enough a part of the year that we already consider it as if you already have that full year. And that is the shita of Rav Meir. Therefore, Rav Meir says, no, we don't need 3 full years like the Rabbanan. It is sufficient to have 2 years plus 30 days over into the next year, a month of the 12 months. So that is already a significant portion of the year, and we consider her as a sholosh v'sholosh shanim v'yoyim echad. So that is the mahalach for Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yana holds, everybody agrees that you need 3 full years. The question is, is it enough to have, at the last day of the third year, is it enough to have miktsas of that day, or do you need a full-fledged 3 years, nothing missing? Rabbi Yochanan holds that according to Rameir, there's a tremendous difference here between the Rameir and the Rabbanon. According to Rameir, even 2 years plus a month, is already considered 3 years. Meisive, we have a kasha from a rice. Bas shol l'shanim afilu bas shtei shanim v'yoyim echad. Even if she's 2 years and a day, miskadesh is bebiya divira meir. Chachamim maimim bas shalosh shanim v'yoyim echad. Chachamim maintain you need 3 full years, as we mentioned earlier. In Rav Meir, there's a tremendous chiddush here. Even 2 years and a day is considered a bas shalosh shanim. So now, bishlam l'Rabbi Yochanan. All is well according to the approach of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan was going with the premise that lamed yoyim b'shana chashav shana, meaning according to Rav Meir, you need 2 years plus a third year, but 30 days of the third year is already considered like the year. Now we know there's a general universal machlokes in this regard. What is chashav shana? Is lamed yoyim b'shana chashav shana? Do we look at the months? Do you need a month of the year to have a chashivus, have a significance of a year? Or is it enough to have even one day? Yoyim echad b'shana chashav shana. The year consists of days. One of those days is considered already as if you already entered and have a chashivus of the shana. So very simple. The two brises are following those two shitas. They both agree, according to Rav Meir, you need 2+. The question is, what is that plus? Is that a month or is that a day? So it's not a kasha or a Rabbi Yochanan. Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan ki heichid ikatana. Just like there is one tana that holds the ka'ama yoyim echad v'shana chashav shana, which is the latter brisa, hachanami so to ikatana in the former brisa, which holds the ama yoyim lamed yoyim v'shana chashuvim shana. So all is well. They're both following the same concept that according to Rabbanu you need 3 full years. According to Rameir, you don't need 3 full years. 2+ is enough. The question is 30 days or just one day. El Rabbi Yannai, however, according to Rabbi Yannai, this won't work. Because Rabbi Yannai holds that both, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanah, both require 3 full years. It's just a question about that Erev Rosh Hashanah, the last day there, could you squeeze it in, or do you need a full-fledged 3 years plus over, carrying over to the fourth year? So this won't work with this latest Braisa. The Braisa says that according to Rabbi Meir, 2 years and a day is sufficient. So that is Shver, it's Kasha. And for the Gemara, Kasha, it will remain Kasha. So in conclusion, we have halacha that Abbas Sholi Shonim has a din of Bia regarding 8 halacha ramifications. The question is, what is considered 3 years? We have a machlekes Remei and the Rabban. According to Rabban, you need 3 full years. According to Remeir, you need don't need 3 full years. How much do you need? According to Rabbi Yannai, you need 3 years minus a bit. As soon as you enter that last day, it is enough. According to Rabbi Yochanan, 2 years plus is enough. Some hold 30 days, and some hold even 1 day is considered a significance as if it would already have been completed the 3rd year, and that is considered Gimel Shanim.